Daniel.
All right, Brad, joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chairs this morning, as we have the great toll debate, is the co-chair of the legislature's Transportation Committee, State Representative Tony Guerrera. We have the vice chair of the Transportation Committee, State Senator Len Susio, and also from the Hartford Current, Christopher Keating. He covers all of this. And, gentlemen, we say good morning to all of you.
Good morning, good morning.
Well, good morning. And I have a quick question. Is Chris going to flip a coin and the first half we get to, I'll defend that goal and Tony will defend the other goal? And...
at the start of the Super Bowl, there we go.
That's right. Well, it may be the Super Bowl of tolls, but, Representative, we'll start with you because you are for tolls. So explain to our audience why you are for tolls.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the air, gentlemen. And obviously that, you know, I think this is a very, very important issue, as we all know. But again, I think when we talk about electronic tolling, my whole purpose of this is that in regards to our infrastructure, which we all understand here, I think no one can debate that, that we have a deteriorating infrastructure out there when it comes to our roads and our bridges. And therefore, our revenue stream has been diminishing over the last probably 10 years here. So I felt as though, and many of our colleagues felt, is that a fair way of trying to raise revenue, because the gas tax is on its way down, is some type of electronic tolling in the state of Connecticut. And therefore, if we did that, we also would capture 30 to 40% of the out-of-staters that travel as a pass-through to the state of Connecticut, which basically beat up our roads and our bridges, and therefore it would be a fair way in regards to trying to raise revenue for our state to fix our roads, fix our bridges. And more importantly, too, I think that if we want to expand and get businesses to come to this state, we have to have an infrastructure that works to get businesses from point A to point B in the fastest amount of time. It was funny because, you know, Senator Susio and Chris Keene and I were just talking about New York and Kennedy Airport and all that. And I remember back in the 70s, traveling with my father to go pick up relatives at JFK. And, you know, from Hartford to New York would take me about an hour and a half. Today, that same commute is almost 3 hours now. In regards to, you'd have to leave by 4:30 or 5 a.m. because you don't want to hit the traffic. So therefore, you know, we have an issue in regards with the state, in regards to our infrastructure, and it needs to be addressed. And these are the debates that we need to have.
Senator Susio, you are opposed to tolls. Why?
They're not needed because the crisis that they're predicated on is a phony crisis. It's a contrived crisis. We're told that we need tolls for two reasons. One is gas tax revenues are going down. That's not true. They're actually going up for the last 4 years. And second of all, we're told we need tolls because we can't meet the spending. We need to fund the spending that's going to have to be done. And that, to me, is the biggest part of the issue that has kind of been neglected, because the governor said we have to spend $100 billion over 30 years. That's $3.3 billion for our roads and bridges. We've never spent more than $1.2 billion in any given year based on the research I've seen. And if you look at it, we get about $750 million a year from the feds, and we raise about another $700 million or so from our gas taxes between the PGRT and the gas tax. So now stop and think about this. If we have that kind of a structure, we're actually spending right now only a third of what the governor says we have to spend. That means we have to spend over $2 billion more per year. Now, if Tony has his way and gets the tolls, the best I've seen, they might raise $600 million a year, maybe $700 million, maybe even $800 million. It's anybody's guess. Depends if they put it in your driveway or not, too, which some people may be talking about that. But let's say, just for the point of debate, that they raise $700 million a year, net of expenses, because it costs about 13% of whatever your fees are towards the administrative costs, etc. So $700 million a year for 30 years, quickly, what's that come out to? $21 billion. The governor says we need $100 billion. We're not even close to the preposterous number he's thrown out. Even if you add back in the money that we're collecting already with the gas taxes, we're halfway there. We can't even come close to raising the money that the governor says we need bring our roads and bridges up to snuff. So I think it's a preposterous, stupendous plan that's going unexamined, and I think we're putting the cart before the horse. The first thing we got to do is decide what we really have to spend before we figure out how much money we have to raise, and I think that's going neglected. It's assumed that we have to spend $100 billion. And, of course, you can precipitate a crisis. If you're going to spend that kind of money, there's no way in the world. I'll tell you what. if we have to spend $100 billion, you might as well turn out the lights and close the state up.
Okay, we'll get back to that, and we'll allow the representative to answer. But, Christopher, questions for our guests.
The first thing I wanted to ask, Len, maybe we could talk a little bit about this so-called fairness argument. What I mean by that is we as Connecticut drivers, every time we go to Maine, every time we go to New Hampshire, every time we drive on the Mass Pike, we're paying tolls. To Tony's point, if you go to JFK to pick up your student living overseas, it's $8.50 each way mm-hmm. each way on the Throgs Neck Bridge or the Whitestone Bridge. So anyway, let's talk about the fairness argument, in other words, and why shouldn't the out-of-staters coming through Connecticut pay here the same way that we pay out there?
Well, there's about 49,000 miles of interstate highway in the United States, and only 2,700 of those miles are tolled. Most of that has to do with systems like the Mass Turnpike or the New Jersey Turnpike or the Pennsylvania Turnpike, which were grandfathered in. They existed prior to the Eisenhower, it was under President Eisenhower that the interstate highway system really was developed in the mid to late 50s. These roads existed before then, and they were built without any federal funds at all. We're talking about monies right now or roads in Connecticut that are heavily subsidized by the federal government. We get about $750 million a year. We risk forfeiting that unless we comply with certain exemptions. And the one I know that Representative Guerrero will talk about is the mileage tax, which, if anything, is even more onerous on the locals, because what's going to happen, Chris, is if we implement tolls, and it's under congestion pricing, the tolls are going to cost far more during the time of day when you're commuting to work. A good example was a couple weeks ago, there was a big thing on the internet about the new 66 that was operate I-66 just west of Washington, D.C. It was opened using what they call a hot lane, which is another exemption, but it's the same kind of idea. You pay more to use the hot lane, and it was to go 6 miles, it was $32.75 one way. So what's going to happen is, if we implement congestion pricing, the overwhelming percentage of that is going to be paid by Connecticut citizens, not by the people going through the state. The best estimate is maybe 25% to 30% might be paid by out-of-staters, but I think that's way too generous, especially under the congestion pricing scenario. So, again, but I want to bring it back, and I don't want to lose track of this. There's no way in the world that tolls under any scenario can come close to even raising the revenue that the governor says we've got to spend. It's impossible.
Well, let's Representative, what about that?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I totally disagree with what my colleague, Senator Sergio. First of all, mm-hmm. the monies that we're saying, he said, is rising. Basically, I have total revenues right now. As of 07, we're at $478.3 million. Today we're at 498. So has it increased a little bit? Absolutely. But we're talking about from 07 to 017, which is 10 years. And I think both of us can say to ourselves that the price of construction for roads and bridges is astronomical. We can't keep up with that. And in regards to the feds saying that they give us money, we have to be honest with everyone out there. The federal government is at a point right now that even President Trump says that he wants to put a 25-cent gas tax in place because they don't have the money to give to the states in regards to infrastructure because the cost is so outrageous. And I understand that. You talk about Governor Malloy's plan, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And I understand that maybe we won't reach that. But to sit here as representatives and senators and say we're not doing anything is not mm-hmm. right. Our job is to go out there and try to build an infrastructure that works for the people of this state, and to get it to the point where it's safe for all of us, and not wait for something bad to happen, because then all of us will be in this room, and Brad and Dan will point to us and say, what did you guys do? Nothing. My good friend here, Senator Sergio, has said before, you know, you don't want to do this. What is the other alternative? Bonding that puts it all on the backs of the people of the state of Connecticut? And I disagree when you say only 30%. It's almost 40% of out-of-staters travel our roads and beat them up. And you and I are paying for them. My plan has always been electronic tolling with a discount with a lower of the gas tax. Because that way you get two bangs for $1. That's what it comes down to. Because now you travel through the state and no one's going to fill up because you have one of the highest gas taxes in the nation. But if you lower that gas tax and you're collecting revenue, then people are going to say, I'm going to might as well fill up in Connecticut and not wait to go to Mass or New York. This is the way that we look at this. And I don't know, you know, when people, we try to put those sexy sound bites in that they're going to be on the driveways. Let's be realistic. Do we really think that people out there think we're going to put them at their driveways? We have to look at a plan that fits everybody. That's fair. That's fair. That's not all on the backs of the people of the state of Connecticut. That's fair for everyone. The most important thing is the safety of our roads. And shame on us if we don't do anything about it.
Senator Susio.
Well, again, first of all, I think we have to determine what we really need to spend. The $100 billion plan that Governor Moy came up with is a pig in the poke. You know, it's really fantasy land. And so the first thing is, before you figure out what you've got to raise in the way of revenues, you've got to figure out what you really have to spend. And then you can look at the revenue question. But I would also point out to Representative Guerrero that the PGRT is up by 29% this year, $33+ million over what it was last year. And that's because the price of gas is going up. And the PGRT, the Petroleum Gross Receipts Tax, is based on the price of gas. Gasoline, for every penny increase in the price of gas, Connecticut collects about $1.2 million of extra Petroleum Gross Receipts Taxes. So if we're up 30 cents a gallon, which is roughly where we are, we're collecting already over $30 million more per year, $33.4 million through the end of January. It puts us on a track to raise more than $50 million in additional petroleum gross receipts taxes this year than what we did last year. That's a pretty substantial increase in the space of 1 year. And I would point out, too, that it's the price of gas that's driving consumption. If you look back over 10 years, which Representative Guerrero brought up, gas consumption was about 1.5 billion gallons back in 10 years ago. It's just about 1.5 billion now. It's just down a little bit. But the price of gas back then was $1.67 a gallon. So if you follow this chart where gas consumption decreased and you match it to prices, you'll see that down here gas is $3.80 to $4 a gallon. And that's the nadir, the low point. And then you go up here, and it's roughly flat this year. Looks to me like consumption this year in terms of gallons is going to be about what it was last year. But revenues are going up because the price is higher. That's the key factor. It's not this fuel-efficient stuff, cars. It's the price of gas. People respond to it.
We are coming up on traffic, Representative. So then we'll get back.
Wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. Come on. Don't
they get me told about the traffic? The special sign came out of traffic.
Okay, coming up to, 7:48, 12 minutes before the hour. 8 o'clock in the morning. The debate will continue, my friends. Stay with us.
Traffic with Cindy, Brad.
Cindy is all set. Cindy.
I am.
Good morning, and don't forget our sponsor, unbelievable.
Bouvier.
Bouvier, great insurance company, and I'll tell you, if you join Bouvier, you are going to get a home run. That's for sure. How's it look, Cindy?
Well, Brad, we do have delays on 84 East through Waterbury, and also as you head into Hartford, it is bumper-to-bumper starting right around Park Road. We have delays because of that crash on 91 North. It was just cleared by Jennings Road. And also on the southbound side, you're on the brakes from Park Avenue, exit 36 down to I-84. In Wallingford, 91 North has a crash by exit 14. That takes out two lanes. 8 South is slowing through Derby, exits 18 through 14. And Metro North delayed up to 40 minutes on your New Haven Line trains into Grand Central. Also, there's a ripple effect causing delays on your Danbury and New Canaan branches. This report is brought to you by Compassion International. Every child is full of potential, but poverty will steal that potential from a child. You can change that when you become a Compassion sponsor. Go to compassion.com/radio to sponsor a child. Now, I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:07 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And thank you, my friend. It is 7:48.
Brad, Senator Susio's son works at Bouvier.
Yes, and he does, and he's been there now for about going on 2 years, and he loves it. And
what a company!
Yeah, yeah. He says he loves the family that you know that owns it. They're really good people, and he is thoroughly enjoying himself working there and doing very well. So they're a great company, there's no doubt about it. Sponsoring a great show, of course.
Oh, he should do the commercials. Yeah.
There's life after the legislature. There you go. Always something to do.
We've got about 30 seconds left, and then we'll be back with our guests, State Representative Tony Guerrero. He is co-chair of the legislature's Transportation Committee, which has a meeting, by the way, today at 10:45. We have the vice chair, State Senator Len Susio, Christopher Keating from the Hartford Current, Brad Davis, and, of course, the great toll debate continuing, Brad.
And, by the way, that was Dan Lovallo, who just mentioned my name, so I'll mention his. Dan Lovallo with us together. We are every single morning.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. The tax overhaul was sold by its backers as a way to help workers, and some companies have announced plans to give employees bonuses and improve their operations. But the plans also suggest the lion's share of tax savings will go to investors. Companies have added tens of billions more to buyback programs, a popular way of returning money to investors and making earnings per share look better. Apple's in talks to buy long-term supplies of cobalt for iPhone batteries directly from miners. Bloomberg reports the iPhone maker seeking contracts to buy several thousand metric tons of cobalt for 5 years or longer. Cobalt prices have skyrocketed lately due to an expected growth in demand for electric vehicles powered by lithium-ion batteries. The executive who took over Wynn Resort after casino mogul Steve Wynn was accused of sexual misconduct says the public shouldn't judge until the investigations wrap up. CEO Matt Maddox says the company is ready to move forward without its founder and develop innovative projects. That's Your Money Now.
In these new and challenging times, holding on to your money for yourselves and to help your family is so important. I'm Barry Horowitz, and I'd like to help. I know about living trusts and proper estate planning. My firm has free living trust seminars so you can get your questions answered without the pressure of an office visit. These seminars show you how you can avoid the probate process and save on estate taxes. How do you know if a living trust is worthwhile? Well, opinions vary, but we believe that if you have a home, then you should have a living trust.
Barry is hosting free living trust seminars Tuesday, March 6th in Enfield, Wednesday, March 7th in Woodstock, Thursday, March 8th in Middletown, and Saturday, March 10th in Trumbull. Seating is limited, so call 860-548-1000. That's 860-548-1000. Secure your family's future now. 860-548-1000 online at preserveyourestate.net.
I'm Barry Horowitz from Nierenstein Horowitz & Associates. Looking forward to seeing you and answering your questions.
News, weather, traffic, politics with Brad and Dan. This is the Brad and Dan Show on the Talk of Connecticut.
752. Well, Daniel, some very special guests, and this is a big deal.
Well, the great toll debate again, Brad, with Representative Guerrero, Senator Susio, Chris Keating, Hartford Current.
Dan, you did something the other day, and we had calls on, that I thought was terrific. How much it was going to cost somebody with these tolls.
Well, this is Could you please repeat that? Some of the plans that are in place, it would cost people $240, $250 a month. So address that.
Sure. Thank you. And thank you for that, Dan, because unfortunately there are a lot of misconceptions out there that people are talking about how much is this going to cost. We, to this day, still don't know what the cost is going to be. Connecticut is very unique. We've had meetings with the Department of Transportation. In fact, our committee ourselves, we looked at back in 2015, that the governor addressed the special, had the Transportation Strategy Board that looked at putting them on I-91, I-95, 84, and the Mayor Parkway, and what that would cost and so forth. But it wasn't some of these numbers that people are talking about. We need to see what those numbers are going to truly be. If we're talking about throughout the state of Connecticut, they can't be, you know, traveling 1 mile at $5 a clip. That's unheard of. It has to be a sense where whenever you travel, it has to be fair. If Dan Lovallo has to travel 10 miles and goes through two gantries over those 2 miles, it shouldn't be $5. Maybe it'd be 75 cents. If he travels throughout the whole state of Connecticut, then it might be $10. We don't know. But again, there's ways that need to be
drafted. How long is it going to take you to figure this out, though?
It's, you know, Brad, it's a complicated issue. So right now we're waiting for the report from the department, which will be in front of our committee hopefully in 2 weeks. And then we'll see what their strategy is. And then we'll have the public hearing to find out whether we agree with it, don't agree with it, what the changes should be, and then move forward
from there.
Should
we wait for the next governor? Isn't that fairer to wait for the next governor?
You know, Brad, I love you, but I got to disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. Every time I keep hearing, let's wait, let's wait, let's wait, is another day that we are losing a tremendous amount of money and putting people in jeopardy out there, all right? I've been at this, and I know you guys have had me on your show before, for about 6 years. If we would have implemented this 4 years ago, we'd have the revenue coming in right now. And now today, as you know, the governor came out about a month ago and says that we're going to have to look at increase in fares, stop projects, all that, because the money isn't there anymore. I can't say what this next governor is going to do because I don't know who this next governor is going to be, all right? But I'm not doing my job, just like Senator Suzzo's not doing his job, if we don't address it today. I don't want to wait, all right? You know, I want to sleep at night, and I mean that sincerely. I don't care whether, you know, and I shouldn't say I don't care. I understand people may be upset about it, but I'm hoping at the end of the day, they see this plan that works in to the people of this state in regards to some type of discount. We have to look at that, whether it's coupons, whatever it may be, discounted on their state income tax. You know, all that has to be evaluated in a way that's fair for everyone. If you use it, you pay some of it. Because we have, I mean, guys, we have to be honest, though. In 10 years, I think Senator Suzzo will have to agree on this, that these cars are going to be electric, hybrid, and that revenue stream is going to be done. We've already seen it. Tesla's already come out with tractor trailers that are electric, that Walmart, all these big companies have purchased already for 2022 to be on the road. Why is it Connecticut always has to be behind the eight ball to do something?
Christopher, question for our guests.
Well, I just want to know, we've been talking about one in every driveway. We've got a lot of driveways in Connecticut. They're all over the place. What I wanted to ask was, I've heard from Republicans as many as 78 tolling places. Mm-hmm. Can we narrow this down, or what are we talking about? We've also heard from Greenwich to New Haven, maybe 10 tolls on the Merritt, 10 on I-95 between just Greenwich and New Haven. So can you narrow it down for us, obviously, and you have to go all the way to Stonington and Union and Danbury and all over the states. So how many places are we actually talking about?
Sure. That's a good question, Chris. And I wish I could tell you the answer, but I don't know exactly how many there are.
How long is it going to take you to find out?
I think within the next 2 weeks, we will have the plan from the Department of Transportation, what their plan is in regards to implementing.
Why wouldn't DOT have had a plan already in place, knowing all this time that you're talking tolls?
Because they didn't have the go-ahead. That was the issue. Was there resistance? Why spend this money? Why do this if the governor wasn't on board? There was never going to be a signature put in place to do this. The governor's come out now and has supported it. I've been talking about this for 6 years, and there's been no plan. And I think that, you know, that is part of the plan here, is that the governor's finally come out and said that we have to have this discussion, and tolls should be part of the solution. It's not the fix-all. Let's be honest here. Tolls isn't going to fix everything. We're going to still have to get registration fees, all that. We're going to need all that. But this isn't going to be the fix-all, but it's going to be a huge part of it.
Senator Suzzo.
Yes, there's going to be an enormous number of spots where you're going to be tolled, because you have to have one for every exit on the highway. Otherwise, people will circumvent them. So you count up the number of exits, and you can figure, okay, that's at least equal to the number of toll spots where you're going to get dinged. But again, this is Tony's coming from the school of, let's pass the bill, let's raise the taxes, let's push the tolls and install the tolls, and then we'll figure out how we spend it. It's, you know, I think you got to figure out what we need money for and how much first. We're putting the cart before the horse. We have no idea. I know this. The $100 billion plan, I use put that in quotes, that the governor proposed is totally pie in the sky. It's a pig in the poke. And that's what's driving a lot of this debate. We're in a panic now saying, wow, we got to triple the amount of spending that we've ever done. And not for 1 or 2 years, but for 30 consecutive years.
Well, what about that, Robert?
Hold on. Let's have this conversation, all right? Because I'm going to be very calm here. I get my Italian up, they say. But Senator Suzzo knows me. And he knows I'd never pass something out there that we didn't have the answers to. You have sat on my committee. Mm-hmm. I've always been forthright and always said that whatever we do, we have to have a clear understanding. So I have to disagree when you say that I'm willing to throw something out there and let's see what happens. My objection's always said, and you've heard it on this station just now, a plan has to be put in place with a public hearing, with input from everyone. Then we go from there. Whether we want to pass something to give to the DOT to even come back to the legislative
body. Can you get it done this session?
Dan, listen, I'm never going to say never, because every time I said, you know, something wasn't going to happen, it ends up happening. If I said it was going to happen, it was going to happen. Last year, we were about 2 votes shy.
Out of time during this.
Story of my life, Dan.
You're out of time.
You'll be back. After the news, where the Italian in you is coming through.
We love it. You got to have the hand language.
We'll be back.
Got two Italians here.
WDRC-AM, WDRC-FM, HD3 Hartford, WSNG Torrington, WMMW Meriden. The Brad and Dan Show, presented by Footprint Shoes and Accessories.
Cheers, then tears at Florida's state capitol. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Students from Parkland who arrived to applause in Tallahassee calling for change after the deadly shooting at their school last week were upset watching the legislature vote to not consider an assault rifle ban. Cheryl Acquarola called the House lawmakers murderers.
Because the next death of someone with an assault rifle here in Florida is going to be on them.
Republican leaders say they will consider other proposals, including maybe temporarily taking guns away from someone considered a threat to others. President Trump will get an earful today from other Parkland, Florida students. Fox's Rachel Sutherland, live in Washington.
Dave, the president is holding a listening session at the White House. On the guest list, students, teachers, and parents affected by gun violence, including the shootings at Sandy Hook and Columbine. The meeting comes a day after the president called for a ban on bump stocks.
The president supports not having the use of bump stocks, and that we expect further action on that in the coming days.
Press Secretary Sarah Sanders told reporters the president will discuss efforts to ensure gun safety at today's listening session. Dave.
And Rachel, last night, President Trump tweeted, "We must now focus on strengthening background checks for gun buyers." A police officer gunned down in Mobile, Alabama last night, killed outside a home where a man was barricaded after his ex-wife was found dead. That suspect also ended up dead. Gold medal number 6 for the U.S. at the Olympics in women's cross-country skiing. Then Lindsey Vonn, she won a bronze in the downhill and then said that it will be her last Olympics. But the men's hockey team will not get a medal. Eliminated in the quarterfinals by the Czech Republic 3-2 in a shootout. And then tonight, the U.S. women's hockey team plays Canada for the gold medal. Fox News. Fair and balanced.
All money managers may seem pretty much the same. But while some money managers may recommend high commission investment products, Fisher Investments avoids them. Some money managers may have hidden and layered fees. Fisher Investments never does. And while some money managers are happy to earn commissions from you, whether you do well or not, Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when you do better. In other words, we're structured to be on your side. Maybe that's why most of our clients come to us from other money managers. Talk with us and find out why so many experienced investors are switching to and staying with Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments, clearly better money management. Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Visit us at FisherInvestments.com to find out what we can do for you.
When Vice President Pence was at the Olympics in South Korea earlier this month, he nearly had a meeting with North Korean officials. But the State Department says, in the end, the North Koreans canceled at the last minute. Another guilty plea in the special counsel's Russia probe. A lawyer with ties to Ukraine.
London lawyer Alex van der Swan pleading guilty to lying to special counsel investigators Tuesday. Van der Swan, whose father-in-law is a Russian oligarch, suing over the Trump dossier, admitted to concealing contacts he had with Trump campaign aide Rick Gates 2 months before the presidential election. Gates, along with his business partner, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, had been indicted on money laundering charges by the special counsel. But White House principal deputy press secretary Raj Shah tells Fox News,
"This has to do with an attorney representing one of the individuals who's already been indicted, has nothing to do with actions related to this president."
In Washington, Sean Langell, Fox News.
Unlike President Obama, President Trump wants to keep Guantanamo open as a prison for enemy combatants and accused terrorists, but one detainee will be set free.
For the first time since President Trump took office, a Saudi man held at the U.S. military prison in Guantanamo Bay is set to be transferred out of the detention facility, returning to his homeland following a plea agreement with the U.S. military. In 2014, Ahmed al-Darbi pleaded guilty to planning a 2002 terrorist attack on a French oil tanker off the coast of Yemen that killed one crew member. Al-Darbi Darby agreed to testify 4 years ago against other al-Qaeda detainees accused of the USS Cole bombing and attacks on American troops in Afghanistan, with the stipulation he would be transferred home. A Pentagon spokeswoman says they are finalizing agreements with the Saudi government. He is expected to be transferred soon. At the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are mixed, not showing too much direction ahead of the opening bell. Yesterday, the Dow dropped 254 points. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Mark Zinni for Channel 3 Eyewitness News. Connecticut State Police are investigating after two people were found dead at a home in Essex. State troopers were asked Tuesday to conduct a well-being check at the home. Detectives said they don't believe there's any threat to the public. A 10-year-old girl was seriously injured after a tree fell on her while out on a hike. It happened Tuesday afternoon at the McLean Game Refuge in Granby. The girl was hiking with four other kids and two adults as part of a birthday party when a tree fell on her. She was then taken by medical helicopter to Hartford Hospital. The Trump administration said Vice President Mike Pence was ready to meet with representatives from North Korea during his recent visit to the Olympic Games, but North Korea canceled at the last minute. A State Department spokeswoman said the U.S. regrets North Korea's, quote, failure to seize the opportunity. The Justice Department says it's moving quickly now with its review of bump stock devices after President Trump directed the agency to propose regulations banning them. The devices allow semi-automatic rifles to fire faster, and they were used in last year's Las Vegas massacre. Meanwhile, Oprah, Steven Spielberg, George Clooney, and his wife Amal Clooney are among some of the celebrities each donating $500,000 to students organizing marches against gun violence. They also plan to attend the protests next month. The celebrity donors said they're inspired by the survivors from Parkland, Florida. Students are mobilizing a March 24th march in Washington and elsewhere across the country, urging lawmakers to enact tougher gun control. That's the news on the Talk of Connecticut. Have a great day, everybody. I'm Mark Zinni, Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
The workmen in Torrington remind us that respect and care for our senior citizens should always be a priority in our society. We owe much of today's success to our seniors because of their hard work and sacrifice. During National Older Americans Month, let us remember our seniors and wish them well. That's courtesy of the Workmen, 244 Forest Street in Torrington. They're always working to keep our community moving in a positive direction. Call 860-482-0016 for more information. The Workmen of Torrington.
Napa Know How.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
The Talk of Connecticut, Bouvier Insurance Traffic.
Good morning. Watch out for delays on 84 eastbound through Waterbury. Also on the westbound side in that stretch, exit 23 through 25A. It's always going slow. Northbound 91 into exit 14 in Wallingford. A crash takes up two lanes. Delays back into North Haven. Farther north into Jennings Road. A crash there was cleared. Southbound side of 91 is Slam Park Avenue into I-84. And two westbounds, a jam-packed drive through Glastonbury. More slowdowns into the Founders Bridge. We also have tie-ups on 84 east from Route 4 in Farmington out to I-91 and westbound from Governor Street into Sigourney Street. I'm Cindy Waitman back at 8:15 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
8 minutes after 8 o'clock, we're back with the debate. But first, I want to just say a couple of things about some folks who have been with me here in the morning with my dad and myself for a long, long time. The DeSopo Funeral Chapel. They've been providing premier funeral service for well over a century. That's right. And you can trust them. You can trust the folks at DeSopo, whether it's Weathersfield or East Hartford. The DeSopo Funeral Chapel, DeSopo.com. Well, we got them all in here this morning, Daniel.
Well, the great toll debate on our touch points. We have interview chairs this morning. We have Senator Susio, vice chair of the legislature's transportation committee. State Representative Tony Guerrero, co-chair of the legislature's transportation committee. We have Christopher Keating from the Hartford Current. Just a note, the commissioner from the Department of Consumer Protection, Michelle Siegel, will join us at the bottom of the hour. So we have a number of things to talk about with the commissioner. I'm going to throw this out to you, Representative, because we're getting reaction on Twitter. Someone tweets, tolls will cause me to leave my job. My commute will cost me so much money that it will destroy my ability to continue. Just one more reason to leave this awful state. What do you say to that?
There it is.
Okay. All right.
We get this all the time, by the way.
I'm sure you do, and that's why I'm here to rectify this whole problem. All right, so let's talk about that. All right. First of all, there is no plan put in place that wants to obviously bankrupt any individual who has to go to work every day. We understand that. The whole Northeast Corridor has electronic tolling. We all know that. So again, the plan that when we put in place as a committee, as a transportation committee, as a legislative body, has to be aware of these issues that are in front of us. Connecticut is a very unique state. It's a very small state. So yes, if there is going to be gantries at certain positions, it has to be fair for those individuals. So again, when I propose this, all right, it has always been with some type of discount, whether it's a booklet that someone who pays for 10 gets the next 10 for free, or maybe a write-off on their state income tax, so therefore they're not paying as much. I understand we have to be cognizant of that. But leaving this state, I don't understand why you would want to leave this state. I mean, you go to Florida, you got tolls. You go to Massachusetts, they got tolls. You go to Jersey, Delaware.
But you don't have other things.
Such as?
Well, they would tell you in Florida you don't have a state income tax.
Not at all.
You don't have a property tax on your motor vehicles.
None of that.
But okay, so then, all right, that's a whole other debate. Well, every time we talk about the car tax, then we get hammered, both Len and I, saying you can't get rid of the car tax because the municipalities want it. All right? So it's like it's a catch-22. Every time you try to do something, then you got the other side, you know, that are totally against it.
Well, let me throw the question to Senator Susio. What needs to be done to repair our infrastructure, and do we need to repair our infrastructure at the rate that's being proposed?
Well, that is the $64 million, or maybe it's a $64 billion question, I guess you could say, Dan. And that's the issue I'm raising right now, that we're putting the cart before the horse. I think we need to have solid numbers that we're going to say, oh, this is what we really have to do, and this is the period of time it has to be done with. We haven't done that yet, and so therefore, talking about raising revenues is premature, because we don't know how much revenue we have to raise, if any at all. I would contend that we could circumvent any kind of increase in revenues. Republicans put out a plan back in October that would solve our roads and bridges issues and wouldn't raise taxes or install tolls at all. But again, I go back to this idea that it's in business. When you create a budget, you look and say, okay, what do we have to spend? What are our expenses? We haven't done that in this case, so you don't know what revenue you have to raise at all, if anything at all. And I would point out, by the way, you know, we always talk about Massachusetts and New Jersey. Massachusetts has one toll road. It has several dozen interstate highways. The only one that's tolled is the Mass Turnpike. If it was such a big moneymaker, they'd have tolls on all the other interstates in Massachusetts, but they don't. The Mass Turnpike is very unique, and that's why it works there and works there alone. They don't get any federal money for the Mass Turnpike to operate it because they'd rather do the tolls in that case. We aren't going to give up the federal money. We can't afford to give up the $750 million we get a year.
What about that?
Hold on. I'm sorry. I just have to talk a little bit about what my good friend...
He's going to eat the microphone, please.
And that is, you know, first of all, the Republican plan that you bring about was about bonding. It was about bonding. So what happens with bonding? Which I'm very surprised because Senator Susio has always been a proponent saying, you bond today, and then tomorrow the MasterCard bill comes in, and it's the taxpayers of the state of Connecticut that have to pay. So I'm very surprised that we're talking about that. And second, when you talk about in regards to funding, a funding mechanism or a plan, let me ask you something. When you have a household, don't you budget for items that could go bad? So if you have a roof that's starting to leak, do you wait for that roof to be completely deteriorated before you fix it, or do you start fixing it as it goes before it gets worse and you have to spend more money? We have gone too far. Yeah. That's the problem here. We have gone too far in regards to doing this. That's the plan that needs to be put in place.
I love the analogy you just used about a household. When I go buy a house, I don't buy it cash. Very few people can. We can't pay for the massive infrastructure changes. No one can possibly pay for that cash. Even the plan that the governor's talking about involves bonding heavily. You don't, in the business world, you don't go build a plant with cash. You finance it. And so there's nothing wrong with financing it as long as it's justified.
But it's justified to what point, though? See, I agree. You're a finance guy.
Yeah.
That's like saying, no, does Senator Susio have the money to pay for this? I'll give you the house with a down payment, but do you have the money coming in to substantiate these payments every month? So when you talk about bonding, Connecticut goes to Wall Street to bond projects, right?
Right.
We get a rating.
Right.
If we have no revenue coming in, why would Wall Street say, I'm going to give you a AAA bonding? They're going to say, no way, Connecticut. You don't have the money to do that. But, now, I'm not a finance guy like you are.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, I was brought up on the streets a little bit, too, so I know what's going on out there.
Yeah. Senator. Well, again, we have to figure out what kind of a house we can afford. Same thing with the highways. You have to figure out what it is we have to spend, what it is we have to use. Once we do that, you figure out how to finance it. And usually people will finance it with long-term financing. That's done. It's customary in the personal world when you buy a house. It's customary in the business world when you build a plant or expand the company. There's nothing wrong with financing it because very few people, if anybody, could afford to pay cash. No state could even afford to do it, basically. So the idea that, we're relying on bonding somehow undermines the validity of the what we're proposing. And again, we're relying on bonding, and it circumvents the need for any kind of tolls or any kind of tax revenue.
You're contradicting yourself, Senator.
No.
Well, you are, because what you're saying is that when you want money coming in, you have to have a job. You have to have revenue coming in. I'm in business, too.
Right.
I can't buy goods and supplies, all right, if I don't have money coming in. So what you're saying is that if Connecticut doesn't have a steady stream of money coming in for their infrastructure, why would anybody in the world want to give you bonds?
And tolls will do that. Is that what you're saying?
It's part of it. It's part of the solution. It's not the end-all fix here.
Chris Keating, question.
I wanted to get into this concept of the toll dodgers. Senator Susio, you seemed a little skeptical. I wanted you to take us through this, the $600 to $800 million. I've heard numbers you might lose 10 to 15% of the money due to toll dodgers. Mm-hmm. Let's get into that. And how common would that be? How easy would that be to jump off I-95 and get on the post road in Lower Fairfield County, which runs very parallel, and basically you drive a half a block and now you're on the post road? So how much of an issue is that? I want both of you to address that.
Well, it's definitely a potential problem, and that's why you'd have to have many toll gantries. You can't skip over an exit. Otherwise, people could potentially get off the exit, get on at the next entrance, and avoid the toll altogether. So, and you start counting up all the exits that exist on I-91, I-95, the Merritt Parkway. Then you start talking about Highway 3 and 2 and 11. And 8 and all the other highways that we have, limited access roads we have in Connecticut. It would involve, I think, 70 or more toll gantries at least, because otherwise you're vulnerable to this problem that you're raising, which is a legitimate problem. And the toll studies have been done so far, and there have been a number of them, by the way, done for the DOT. All were done between 10 cents to 20 cents a mile. Those are the studies that say, well, we can make money on it. If you look at the Mass Turnpike, the Mass Turnpike's about 4 cents a mile, and they raise $350 million a year. And you know, I asked the commissioner, I said, well, what do you think you could raise in the way of revenue with this thing? And he said, well, depends on the configuration, but if we put tolls on every limited access road in Connecticut, he figures it could raise $700 million a year. To put it into context, by the way, that's about the equivalent of what we raise in our gas taxes. About $500 million for the excise tax and another $250 to $300 for the PGRT. So effectively, if what the commissioner was talking to me about is implemented, it's effectively doubling the taxes, the gas taxes in Connecticut. That's the actual impact it would have. Because, again, we raise $750 to $800 million in gas taxes, and he's saying $750 to $800 million in the tolls. That's effectively going to happen. It's like doubling the gas taxes.
Okay, we'll get to Representative Guerrero in just a moment, but let's get an update on traffic, Brad.
18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning, our debate continues, and right now we're going to check and see just how the bumper-to-bumper crowd is doing. Cindy Waitman's with us, brought to you by Bouvier Insurance. Remember, you can find them, you know where, West Hartford, Connecticut, but they cover everywhere. A great insurance company. How's it look, Cindy?
Well, Brad, we have a crash. 91 northbound. It's right in the area of exit 14 in Wallingford. Two lanes are out. Delays go back to North Haven. The earlier crash, 91 north at Jennings Road. That's out of your way. 2 west now. Bumper to bumper traffic. It's backed up across the span into the Founders Bridge, into the lights at Constitution Plaza. And we're also seeing delays on 84 westbound, Governor Street to Signy Street, eastbound from Route 4 in Farmington to I-91. Both ways on 84 through Waterbury. 8 south is slammed. through Derby, exits 18 through 14 and 9 North, bumper-to-bumper traffic as you make your way through the Arrigoni Bridge stoplights. This report is brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:34 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
19 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, I want to talk about my friend Dr. Richard Fitchman for just a couple of minutes here. He's done a tremendous job. When I first met him, he had one place to do business. Now he's got several. Yes, and one of his favorites, located in West Hartford. The West Hartford line right there, Hartford, West Hartford. Beautiful modern office, plenty of free parking. Interestingly, Dr. Fitchman grew up in that neighborhood, and his father had a market. And while his business is important to him, okay, it's his dream that the neighborhood, which is undergoing revitalization, continues to grow. One of the great things that Dr. Fitchman has done to support the neighborhood, but this is typical of Dr. Fitchman, is to start a scholarship foundation. It affords a young person from the area an opportunity to attend college. So when you come in for an eye exam, a portion of the proceeds help support the scholarship foundation. Now, if you live in Hartford, West Hartford, Bloomfield, or Windsor, the Fitchman Eye Center's Hartford office at 1500 Albany Avenue is a convenient place for you to get the quality eye care, and also he'll do something extra for you as well. That's the way Dr. Fitchman operates. And for an appointment, all you have to do is call the Fitchman Eye Center, yes, the Hartford office, or you can visit FitchmanEyeCenter.com. Dan?
Okay, Brad, time of the essence here. So what we hear a lot about Representative Guerrero when it comes to why isn't the sales tax raised, it's because we hear it hurts people on limited income. Wouldn't tolls hurt people on limited income?
Well, the way it's put, the way you put it, it could hurt them, yes, the way you stated that way. But it all depends how we as a committee draft the legislation in regards to how we can discount it and how much it's going to cost, and if tolls should go up with gantries, that we would reduce the gas tax. So therefore, it would be less of a burden on the people of the state of Connecticut.
How much would you reduce the gas tax?
Well, we could probably reduce it by 5 cents over a four-year period, 5 to 6 cents, and then we'd be one of the lowest in the United States rather than one of the highest. I mean, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, to me, every penny counts. And if that means I can lower it, you know, there's a perception out there too, Dan, that, you know, Connecticut has the highest gas tax. Connecticut's this, Connecticut's that. This is a great state. You know, everyone tends to bash it at times, but, you know, we're very fortunate to have the Litchfield Hills and the Long Island Sound. You know, it's a beautiful state, and I love this state. But the point is, if we don't have an infrastructure that works, all right, and I think we all have to agree on this, all right, how do we get businesses to come into the state? Why would Amazon want to come to the state of Connecticut if they can't move their goods and services in a way to get the Mass, the New York, the New Jersey?
But is the infrastructure crumbling that badly? I mean, we're under the notion that all these other states have brand new highways, brand new bridges. I've been in some of these other states where there are tolls and the roads are not the best.
You know, Dan, I think when we see some of the reports that come out, yes, our infrastructure is in bad shape. I mean, and you could look at some of the reports that come from the Federation of Engineers that rated it a D+.
What about it, Senator?
In regards to, you know, our bridges.
A D plus.
I would say that there's no doubt we have some catching up to do, but I don't think there is in bad a shape. I saw reports that said it's like 6% of our bridges have issues and need to be addressed. So, you know, again, I think this is the thing we've got to focus on is really what do we have to do. What standard are we going to hold ourselves up to as far as the condition of our roads and bridges, and what kind of money does that mandate that we spend? And I look at it this way, by the way, and there's one thing we haven't talked about here. We are putting a huge increase in spending already. We're taking the money from the PGRT, the Petroleum Gross Receipts Tax, which was never put directly into the transportation fund. It was put into the general fund, and then some of it was put into the special transportation fund. And in effect, we shortchanged the special transportation fund by $1.2 billion in the last 10 years. All that money now, because of the act of the legislature, is going directly into the special transportation fund. So aside from that, and aside from the fact that the Petroleum Gross Receipts Tax itself is increasing this year, as I just said, there's an enormous amount of new money without tolls and without increasing taxes going right into the special transportation fund today as we talk, and it's been happening for the last year or two. To say that we've got to raise billions of dollars beyond that, to me, again, is putting the cart before the horse. I believe that with the dedication of the PGRT to the Special Transportation Fund, that's going to add a huge surge in revenues that we never had before. Okay. That weren't there.
Representative.
Well, again, I think that we have to be clear here, too, because we take money out of the general fund to the Special Transportation Fund. And we haven't done that since 2014 because we haven't had the revenue. The issue comes down to is that when you have roads, you don't wait for something bad to happen. It's just like when we take care of our bodies. If you abuse your body, then you know you're going to have problems within the next 10 or 15 years. But if you take care of yourself, then you know you're going to live a lot longer. And if we don't take care of our roads, this is the problem that we're dealing with. If we're just going to patch a hole over here, patch a hole on Route 8, you know, fix the concrete under a bridge so it doesn't fall. And when I say something bad, it doesn't mean a bridge has to collapse. What about a piece of concrete that could fall on a car with a family of five in it and causes them to get into an accident? That's bad.
But what about tolls? Why do we need tolls?
Money. We need the revenue stream to come in, Brad, because we don't have the revenue that we used to have. The federal government is reducing the amount of monies that we're getting. The gas tax is being reduced. And if we don't look at a different revenue stream, then we need to look at something else. And if somebody else wants to propose something else, which I've asked for over the last 6 years, and Senator Susie will agree to it, I'm all ears. You want to come up with another plan?
But you don't want a bond.
What's that?
But you don't want a bond. The Republican plan calls for bonding. Yeah. You don't want a bond.
That goes on the basis of the tax dollars, Dan.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So why is it everyone should travel through our state as a pass-through and not pay their fair share?
Okay, time is of the essence here, so I want to get this question in because the legislature has, the Transportation Committee has a meeting today, and among the items on the agenda listed twice is this proposal to create a transportation authority.
Terrible.
So let's start. Representative Guerrero, yes or no, do we need a transportation authority?
Again, this bill just came out. We're going to... it's on the agenda today, I believe. I think you're right. Yeah. It is on the agenda today. And then we're going to have a public hearing to see how it's going to work. But basically, I think what they're saying is that have this authority that would look at it, the monies would come in, and distribute how we go about fixing our roads and our bridges.
Senator Susio.
The Transportation Authority would be a way for the legislature to avoid its responsibility to make decisions about taxes and tolls. They would blame it on the authority and absolve themselves of any responsibility whatsoever. So I'm totally against the idea of a Transportation Authority. I think it's a way of politicians avoiding responsibility for their decisions.
I think it's your responsibility. We elect you. It's your responsibility.
What about that, Representative? Does it shield the elected officials from making decisions on an increase in the gas tax or tolls, etc.?
Again, it all depends on what this bill is going to say and what it does. If you put it the way Senator Susio does it, obviously it does. It puts it on the Transportation Authority, and it doesn't put it on us. But if it's something that both of us as a legislative body and the authority looks at in regards to a compromise of what happens, then it's a win-win for everyone. So again, it's, you know, it's easy to sit there and say this is what it's going to be when we know both at the end of the day that compromise needs to be put in place to get something done up there.
Chris, final question.
It might take a long time, but I wanted to get into the congestion pricing. In other words, how much of a premium, how much extra money, and does anybody know this, how much extra money will the state make with this congestion pricing?
Senator Susio.
That, again, remains to be determined, Chris, but the example I cited earlier in the show, the one that's outside of west of Washington, D.C., I-66, they use a version of congestion pricing called hot lanes, and they were charging, at the peak of the rush hour, they're charging $32.75 for 6 miles.
Representative Guerrero.
Real quick, because I know we're almost done here, and that is, if we talk about that type of congestive pricing, again, it would always be under my purview that if we have the electronic tolling, that we have one lane for congestive pricing. It would be like a hot lane. So that, therefore, if Dan LaValle or Brad Davis want to pay more of a premium to hop in that lane, they have that option. I'm not telling you to do it, but you have that option.
Do we know off the top of our head, we have about a minute left, to put this infrastructure in place, gantries, the possibility of getting refunds, the whole apparatus, what would it cost?
You know, Dan, that's a good question. It's going to cost money. There's no doubt about it. It's going to cost a lot of money. But when you look at the big picture, the revenues that we're going to get will, without a doubt, offset the cost of this. I mean, from what I understand, we would be making 90 cents on the dollar.
Okay.
It'll take millions of dollars and years to implement, and that's another reason to delay all this till the next administration comes in next year.
We're out of time. Representative Guerrero, Senator Susio, Chris
thank you.
Keating,
thank
wonderful.
You so much. Thank you all.
Representative
you all.
Guerrero, thank you. We're going to shake
Senator
hands.
Now I got my
there you
avenues
go.
That
there
I
you
know
go.
Go without any tolls.
I love it.
Commissioner Siegel is next. Stay tuned.
8:30 in the morning, and we'll be back, my friends.
This is a Fox News.